Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 39 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer, and today I'm going to talk about resolutions for a long and successful future. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Now, we're recording this towards the end of the year, so let me say Happy New Year, but it doesn't mean that if you're listening to this 6 months from now, that this would not be appropriate. I hope you take heart and maybe follow up on some of the suggestions that I'm going to share today. So as I said, we're approaching the end of the year, and at that time, it always gets me thinking about New Year's resolutions and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I always try and have a few for myself professionally in addition to the personal ones. Not that I am always that successful in achieving them, but at least I want to start off right. And so, you know, we're in a very different time as near as I can see. And so for that reason, I don't have a whole list of, 14 things that I think we should all be doing, myself, by the way, included. I have three, and these are not only for myself, but I share them with you because I think we could all benefit. We're in a very different time. It's kind of a time not like anyone that we've, or at least I've experienced in most of my career. So I have three resolutions this year, only three professional ones anyway. And the most important thing part about them, or one of the most important parts to me, is they don't cost anything, of course, other than my time. So let's take a look at what I hope to do, and then hopefully you'll think it's a good idea and you'll join me. And by the way, I'd love to hear from you if you do. Okay, so I obviously do a lot of reading. I like to read, plus it's kind of a necessity for my job. And recently, I've been running into what I would call a new vocabulary. I'm starting to see the word reskilling and upskilling a lot. And, you know, in the old days, we just called this training, or I like to call it lifelong education or continued learning, which I think is critical for any professional who wants to be successful in their life. So don't be surprised if you see the words reskilling and upskilling. And this is going to kind of get to the first resolution that I have. But before we get there, I want to share some statistics. I love numbers, by the way. And to me, these statistics are both petrifying, but they're also encouraging. So I urge you to look past the scary part of this, the numbers, and see the light at the end of the rainbow, if you will. So the first number that I want to share for you, or the first statistic that I want to share with you, was a statistic from the Gartner Group, and this was actually published in 2017. Now, we're pretty close to 2020, so I find it interesting, and I've seen it highlighted in a number of places. So it starts off the statistic and it says artificial intelligence will eliminate 1.8 million jobs by 2020. You know, of course, everybody's clutching their hearts. We're all thinking the worst. But at the same time, it will create 2.3 million jobs. So a net increase of, 500,000 new jobs. Okay. So, then the next question obviously is, who will be those jobs before, and will we be, will they be for me? Okay. Cause that's, let's face it, what we're all interested in. Yeah. We're interested in our staff a little bit, but we're mostly concerned about ourselves. So I thought it was kind of interesting when Amazon announced in the summer of 2019 that it had planned to spend $700 million to train about 100,000 of its workers by 2025. And the goal there was to help them move into more highly skilled jobs. Now, if you work for Amazon or a company who is willing to make that investment, that's great. But some of us are going to have to do that on our own. And I'm going to talk with you a little bit about how you can do that, or at least how I do it, such that it is. Okay. And lastly, I just wanted to share with you some commentary that when we see and we hear about artificial intelligence eliminating jobs and whatnot, most of the time we think about more transactional jobs or lower end jobs, if you will. But we're seeing a radical change. And there was an announcement, or somebody did an analysis actually. And they discovered that investment banks such as Goldman Sachs were now hiring more people with math, technology, software, coding, and data analytics skills, and skills of that sort, related skills, to work along with the people doing electronic trading. So the big bucks aren't completely going to, you know, the few guys who are going to do the trading. And anyway, I thought that was very informative and kind of showing how the world is changing. Now, I even look to myself to see how things are changing for me, and I spend most of my time writing, and I do a lot of talking like this, webinars, conferences, etc. And one of the things that I've noticed is my job has gotten easier. It has. It's gotten easier, and I don't think about it, but the main way my job has gotten easier is, you know, some tasks have been automated, and so also, we no longer call people like me writers. I create content. That is what, you know, the current terminology. So if you told me, you know, when I was getting out of college that I was going to be a content creator, well, when I got my MBA, I, you know, kind of look at you like, what are you talking about? But that is in effect what I do. And then it is disseminated in a number of different manners. But enough about me. I want to talk more about you. I also just want to share the statistic. You know, today we all talk about paid search and, you know, a lot of advertising is online. But when you look back, Google only introduced AdWords in the year 2000. Okay, so we've come a long way on the advertising front in just 20 years. Now, I'm sure there are some magazines and some newspapers who are not happy with this. In fact, it's probably a lot who aren't. But, you know, that's the world we live in. And when they launched the product, just FYI, they had 350 customers. And now you look 20 years later, today a large part of Google's income comes from advertising. All right, so now, one more statistic, and then I'm gonna get down to the resolutions, I promise. But, you know, I'm a math person, and I love numbers. So when you look into the future, you know, what do we see? And the World Economic Forum has predicted that there will be 133 million new jobs created around the world over the next 5 years thanks to new technology. And if you're scratching your head thinking, well, what on earth could those jobs be? I want to just tell you real quickly about three that I've encountered, I've actually run into in my personal life, and probably when I tell you what they are, you realize so have you. Okay, so we're seeing, number one, the introduction of drones. We're seeing, you know, drones, we hear about it all over the place, and I've seen a number of very useful applications involving drones. They're now being used, for example, in search and rescue, to do inspections in dangerous areas where in the past people, you know, had to climb up, for example, a turbine to do the inspection, and it could be, it was dangerous. So now drones are doing it. And of course, we need people to operate the drones, fix the drones, do the programming for the drones, etc. I was looking online. I was trying to collect some information about electric scooters. Actually, I was looking for it for travel policies, companies like Bird and Lime. And they had a job advertising. They were looking for people to go around and recharge the electric scooters that are out there. And I thought, well, you know, that's certainly a job that didn't exist 5 years ago, maybe even 2 years ago. And then I was last summer, I think it was last summer, well, whenever it was, I was at the Portland Museum of Science and Industry at an exhibit, and it was a exhibit on robotics, and they actually had a robot repair shop. And of course, once I saw it, I was like, duh, of course. You know, the robots aren't going to fix themselves, or at least not initially. They're certainly, you know, they're going to break down just like everything else. Okay. I'd like to take a brief moment to have a message from our sponsor, and then I'm going to tell you about my three resolutions to face this brave, scary, and opportunity-laden world that we're all facing. AP and accounting professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now, here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to five times faster. Visit stamply.com/AP now. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/AP now. And with that, let's move on to the resolutions. So we want to figure out, as we go forward into this scary but exciting new world, what all these numbers and facts mean for those working in accounts payable and accounting. And I'm going to start off by telling you something nobody wants to hear, that but almost across the board, regardless of where you are on the food chain, parts of your job are going to be automated. Some of us only a tiny bit, some of us a lot. And as I said, I look at my own job, which probably is a little different from yours, but parts of it are becoming automated. And I'm always glad when that happens, by the way, because usually what it does is it removes some of the more boring parts of my job. This also means that there are going to be new opportunities out there. And the new opportunities are going to be available for those who are ready to assume them and ready to seize the bit, if you will. Now, don't wait for your company to train or retrain or upskill you, reskill you. Maybe you're lucky and your company will, you know, like Amazon, they'll have budget for this, but assume they're not. You are, you know, the driver of your own destiny. You need to grab the bit by the bull by the horns, so to speak. Now, I want to take a look because, you know, we're in the accounts payable space, or that's where I spend a lot of my time, at the evolution of what's gone on in invoice automation. Okay, this is, you know, the history through Mary's eyes. Okay, and we've come a long way. I saw my first demonstrations of invoice automation around the year 2000, maybe a year or two before, maybe a year or two after. I can't exactly pinpoint it, although I do remember going to the talk because it really impressed me. I was like, wow, that is amazing. But, you know, back then, 20 years ago, these models were very expensive to implement. Few were third-party models. Most of them were developed in-house. And they were expensive. So many times the development costs were in excess of $1 million, and the installation time and the training time was long. So this meant it was definitely a big company solution. And to be perfectly honest, the integrations with the ERP systems were sometimes clunky, and anytime there was an ERP upgrade, that was a nightmare because now the company had to go back and, you know, tweak, if you will, its invoice automation process to make sure that their automation, you know, could accommodate the ERP upgrades. It was not pretty. Okay, I look, you know, fast forward 20 years. Today, even companies that originally developed their own model are moving towards third-party models. The beauty of that is then the third-party service provider gets to deal with the ERP upgrade, and they deal with it once instead of every single company dealing with it on their own. The price has plummeted on this stuff, and in many cases, it is now available on a SaaS, a software as a service basis, kind of pay as you go, and very inexpensive. There's basically a model for almost every income stream, if you will. Okay, you no longer have to have a big company with, you know, deep pockets. We see many mid and smaller companies now going with it. And of course, installation doesn't take months. It's now a matter of hours, sometimes with no IT involvement, sometimes with very little IT involvement. And by very little, I mean, you may just have to get some information from your IT guys. It can be that simple. Okay, so that's just showing you how fast we've come. And now I want to talk about the areas where we're not trained traditionally, but we need to get this information. And at the end of the day, the people who have this knowledge are going to be the winners. And when I say have this knowledge, I don't mean that you have to be an expert in it. You just have to understand what it is, a little bit of how it works, and how it will impact the accounting function, the accounts payable function, wherever your expertise is. And in fact, when you look at some of the projections, I'm going to spare you because I'm not, you know, putting more numbers in. The most jobs, or the projections as to where the most jobs will not be with the people who are coding these particular areas, but the people who can integrate, have a little knowledge of, let's say, accounting or accounts payable, and a little knowledge of the new technology, and then how they can integrate them. So the people who can integrate. The areas that I see of real importance, blockchain, okay? Especially if you're at a large company, you want to learn about blockchain. Once you've, you know, mastered that to some level, and again, you don't have to be an expert, you might want to move on to cryptocurrencies. Now, most of us, when we think of cryptocurrencies, we immediately think of Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is by far the largest cryptocurrencies, but there are others. And so you might want to make yourself at least aware of what the others are. Artificial intelligence and robotic process automation, mainly often referred to as RPA, have had a big impact on the accounts payable space and other accounting areas. And of course, that big impact is with invoice automation. So you might want to learn a little bit about that. And lastly, data metrics and your data analytics. As more of our work becomes automated, there's going to be more of a focus, and there already is, on the metrics. And if you're in accounts payable, you've got access to a lot of valuable information, information that others in the company can use. So you want to get this knowledge as best you can. Now, if your company is providing it, great, you're really lucky. But for most of us, our companies aren't. So how are you going to learn, okay? And this is, you know, the first resolution, if you will. You need to learn about blockchain, cryptocurrencies, AI, invoice automation, data analytics, data metrics. Start off by reading. Not, yes, there are some of the information out there requires a membership or a subscription, and that can be pricey, but there's some free stuff out there, okay? Look on the internet. I have to tell you that I'm aware of two initiatives that are going on right now, or people are planning on, whether they'll be successful or not, I don't know, but I'm hopeful that they will be, where some of this information will be available at no cost. So read whatever you can find on these things. And by the way, don't be embarrassed to start off with, you know, introduction to, or, you know, and just get the fundamentals and then build on it. You can also look on YouTube. I love going to YouTube whenever I have a problem, for example, with Excel. Put the issue in and then somebody comes on and explains it to me. You can also listen to podcasts like this one. Not to be promoting ourselves too much, but you can listen to them. And all these things don't have to take a lot of time. You can spend 15 or 20 minutes a day doing it, or, you know, spend part of your lunch hour, read or listen to one of these things while you're eating your lunch. I like to always recommend TED Talks. They tend to be at a higher level, big picture items, but still they're pretty interesting, and they help make you kind of a well-rounded individual so that you can say something intelligent when you're at management meetings. And lastly, don't overlook service providers. provider webinars and content. A lot of the people getting into this area realize that they need to produce content, and they are the best source for it. I like to say that everything I know about invoice automation, I learned from the service providers, and I'm proud of that. Okay, so you want to increase your knowledge base, and you may have to do it on your own, and this is some of the ways you can do it. So reading, listening, looking on YouTube for videos, listening to podcasts, listening to some TED Talks, and if you have the opportunity to go to a free service provider webinar, or they have some articles on their website, take advantage, look at it, read it. If it doesn't work for you, you know, you can just get off the webinar. Nobody will criticize you. Step number two, I like to say, stop hiding under a bushel. Stop hiding your talents. So often I go to a conference and I talk to people and they're doing pretty wonderful things, but nobody knows about it because, you know, they go to work, they do the job, they come home. So here's my, I throw down the gauntlet. Make this the year that you speak in public. Now, if you're thinking, oh my God, that's scary, I can't do that, I don't want to do it, I have some suggestions for you on how you can start small and so it's less stressful. Okay? Because yes, I know it's very stressful to get up and speak in public. I can tell you that when I first started doing it, I would almost throw up before I would start. And then once I got started, it was fine. And the best way to get over that is to do it over and over and over again. So how can you get started? Number one, at work. Think about giving talks at work where appropriate. Maybe you get together the whole accounts payable department or the whole accounting department, and each of you gets a topic. And then, you know, at a luncheon meeting, each of you gives your talk that's maybe 10 or 15 minutes, okay? You can start small. Another way to talk is to consider, if you have the opportunity to speak at a conference, to do it on a panel. It's, to be honest, it's always easier to speak with someone than to speak alone. So you might want to speak with one of your peers, someone you work with, etc. If you want to practice, Toastmasters is a great place. Get online and look for a local Toastmaster club. Finally, I have one other suggestion. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know I frequently have guests. Well, if you've done something in your accounts payable department that's interesting, that improved productivity, made the staff happier, made management happier, gave you a way to learn something, I'd love to hear from you. So just, you know, drop me a line. I'm Mary S@ap-now.com. And I'd love to hear from you and love to have you on this podcast. Some of the most interesting talks I've had are with AP professionals, accounts payable professionals, controllers, and other accounting executives. Okay? So get yourself out to speak. It doesn't have to be at a conference with 300 people staring back at you. There are ways to start small, okay? And this also helps with the third issue that I'm going to talk about, which I call 6 degrees of separation. And that's kind of a misleading topic, because what I'm going to challenge you to do is to meet 6 new people in the next year, 6 people who you can, I don't want to say will help you with your career, but 6 people who, you know, will expand your network. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some suggestions on how you could do that. Number one, if you go to a conference and you go with someone that you work with, when you get there, part ways, okay? Sit at lunch with somebody that you don't know. You'll get to meet a lot of new people that way, and you'll have some very interesting experiences. And then make sure you exchange a business card so that you can follow up with them about an issue that you have at a later date. When I first started going to conferences for my job, I always went with my boss. We always sat together. We had a great time. And then after I'd been there like 2 months, he said, you know what, now it's time for you to go by yourself. And so I would go by myself, and I'd have 2 choices. I could sit in my room and not participate in the lunches and the meals, or I could go down and I could sit at a table and I could talk with people. And so that's what I chose to do. And trust me, it's not easy to walk into a room of, you know, 300 people where you know nobody, plop yourself down at a table, and then start talking to, you know, the people that are there. But you know what? After you've done it a few times, it's not so hard. Likewise, if you go to the conference, if you're lucky enough and you're sitting next to somebody, strike up a conversation. If you hear them say something, catch up with them later and say, hey, can I follow up with you on that? Okay, enough about conferences. Let's say you don't go to a conference. So how are you going to meet these six new people? Well, number one, you can get on discussion forums and you can post on there. You can respond to people who have questions. If you see an article, okay, you can write to the author if you have something to say, something to add, a question to ask. You can start a conversation that way. Likewise, if you hear a talk, you can comment again in writing afterwards. These are all ways that you can start to meet your six new people in the next year. I can tell you in this year, I met two new people, Deborah Richardson and Jamie Radford, because they reached out to me to be on their podcast. And both of those relationships have turned out really well for me. But I didn't know them if you went back a year ago. Next issue is that you can look for people in other departments at your job, okay? So do you know somebody in purchasing? Maybe it's time that you met them. So reach out, invite them to lunch, ask a question. Hey, do we have some metrics that we can help you with? Okay, so other people within your company, not in your department. And lastly, is your company getting some new technology? If so, maybe you want to reach out to others who have already used that technology, ask them for suggestions, insights, etc. Okay, so hopefully now I've given you three objectives. Number one, you want to expand your horizons. Get some knowledge about some of these new services that are out there. Number one. Number two, you want to speak. You want to make sure that people get to know you, know who you are. You can speak at a conference, you know, on a webinar. Look for opportunities where you can shine. And lastly, you want to meet three new people, professionals within the year, okay? Or maybe it's not six, maybe it's three, maybe it's 12, but you want to, you know, expand your horizons more. Okay, I wish you the very best of luck with this. And if you're listening to this around the new year, Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to this AP Now podcast, and a special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate the episode, review the episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, and of course your staff and people that you work with. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for our free e-zine using the box on the left of the homepage. The e-zine contains tips and news about upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, and of course, new episodes of this podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you again on another AP Now podcast.